Welcome to the CEC report. It's June 15th. I'm Robert Barwick and I'm joined again by CEC leader Craig Isherwood. Welcome, Craig.
Thanks, Robbie.
In this week's CEC report, we will feature the just hot off the press edition of our latest New Citizen newspaper, British Crown's Endgame, Financial Crash and Nuclear War. This is the most important publication the CEC has ever put out. We've made it extremely relevant to what's happening right now. And so today, I'm going to ask Craig to give us the details or a sampling of the details of what's in the paper, just to for the reader to understand the importance of you getting a copy and reading it and studying yourself and distributing it. We've just printed 250,000 copies of this publication for mass distribution around Australia. And why have we gone to that extent? Because of what it covers. Just very briefly, this paper shows that the current economic collapse, which is centred in Europe, is unstoppable. There's no stopping this. It's not a blip in a cycle. And that is leading to horrific consequences. It shows that one of those consequences is a British Crown City of London war drive. Now, we've been talking about this quite a lot, but that's heated right up. And it's a war drive where, through Barack Obama, who is a puppet of the City of London and the British Crown, they are prepared to launch nuclear war against Russia and China, who are the only countries that haven't totally given up their sovereignty to the City of London system. And most disturbing in the paper is it goes through how Australia is central to that war drive. We, as Australians, are allowing our country to be a central chess piece in this plot to start a global thermonuclear war, and in our case, particularly luring China into this. So this is something that people need to know the details of. Don't take our word for it. But my message to the viewers is we're in a very dangerous situation in the world. This is the time in which we live, because you don't have a total collapse like this, Craig, that's of the scale of a depression, without having the kind of global strategic consequences that we saw after the last depression.
As we speak, Robbie, I mean, the Greek people are pulling $1 billion a day out of their banking system, because this coming weekend, we don't know when this program goes to air, what would have happened over this weekend. However, there's a real threat of the entire Greece pulling out of the euro system, which is the beginning of the destruction, the falling apart of the euro system.
And overnight, the Spanish banking crisis has just escalated massively again.
So what we're looking at is a cascading set of banking crashes, a continuation of the entire disintegration of the world's monetary financial system. And behind this, Robbie, as we've said many times on this program, you're seeing this rapid push for war, particularly with now the escalation of Syria. You've got some UN official come out saying this is now a civil war, which is a push for military intervention. I believe Colin Powell's come out and said, no, there should not be military intervention. There's a lot of retired generals behind the scenes in the United States and other places, also here in Australia, I would say, that know what's on the line here as far as any sort of war against Syria. And of course, any war against Syria is actually a de facto war against Russia and China, because that is what we actually go through in our paper. One thing I want to pick up on, Robbie, really quickly, is because some people, well, in fact, a lot of people in this country recoil when we talk about the British Crown. And 99.95% of that is pure, unadulterated ignorance. And we can help with that, because in a sense, this paper, Robbie, represents a trilogy of papers. It's the most powerful paper that we've put out. It's taken a long time to put together, because it is a thorough composition of the material that people need to know. But look, back in 2009, we produced this paper, Defeat the British Monetarist Empire of Monetarism, which goes through in historical detail of how the British Empire actually operates. And the British Empire is not the British Empire by name now, although it acts that way. It's called the British Commonwealth, which is a very powerful grouping underneath the crown. And then we went on last year.
Well, and just the other, what people would know, they don't know it as the British Empire, but what is the British Empire they would know by another name is globalisation.
That's
the
right,
idea of nations giving up their sovereignty to a monetary power, which if they follow it through is centralised in London, that is the modern British Empire.
Yeah. So what you have is, last year we went to an enormous amount of time and effort to to produce a lot of these 50,000 of this particular paper. It's a 52-page edition, Defeat the British Crown's Green Fascist Dictatorship. And what we showed here is that the very fascist laws that are driving our country, particularly rural producers, we've now had an announcement by Tony Burke that we're going to have the world's largest marine park. This sort of legislation is destroying food production capacity of our nation. But you're also looking at the austerity measures, say, in Greece and in Spain that are coming. This is, you're moving more and more towards an actual dictatorship, a fascist dictatorship. So we spell out in this one, in chapter and verse, how the British Crown started the global green movement. How it, we name the names, we put the dates down, we give all the mechanisms, and we also back that up with the later Ecosystems DVD. So that led to this last paper, where we've taken elements of all those past papers and added to it. So as you see, the main theme of this paper is the financial crash and the nuclear war. The fact is right now is that you have a move by the West under Obama, who is, if it's not removed, we will see a nuclear war, of the development under NATO of what's called the ballistic missile defense system. Now, since the post-war period, you've had another doctrine in place called the mutually assured destruction doctrine of, I think, Bertrand Russell and various other people put into place. Now, this is an insane doctrine. It's called MAD for a good reason. But it's kept the world from nuclear weapons since then.
Well, it's what the world knows, and it's they call it the strategic balance.
Yeah, because what it means is that if you have two countries with nuclear weapons, the deterrent is that they both get wiped out, right? That there's no capability of... That if they learn to those weapons, they both get wiped out, right? There's no capability... they'll get wiped out because there's what's called a second strike capability. That is, if they don't get them all at once, then the other country can launch their weapons.
Well, and the secondary country detects within seconds that the first one has launched and they launch.
With all the spy satellites and the things that are in space, yeah. So what happens? They launch a secondary strike. Well, what's being proposed is that a shift take place whereby that secondary strike capacity, particularly of Russia, is taken out of the equation. And Russia has been very explicit in saying this is overturning the mutually assured destruction doctrine of the last 40 or so years, and they're screaming about it in all different forms and so forth. But it's a deliberate attempt by the oligarchy to put Russia in a position where they intend to wipe it out. They intend to use nuclear weapons against Russia and of China because of the direction that these two countries have taken, specifically in developing their economies against the British system of monetarism.
And Craig, it's very important. It's not that Russia and China are perfect nations, but what they are very strong on is that they are fiercely protective of their sovereignty. So under the conditions of financial crisis that the world's in, the globalizers out of the City of London are demanding globalist solutions, which means nations have to give up more sovereignty. Whereas when the nations themselves under this crisis are saying, no, we want our own sovereignty back. And so Russia and China represent that. So the City of London represents the destruction of sovereignty. Russia and China represent, now we're going to defend our sovereignty. And what the Chinese have said, what you're doing in the Pacific with this missile defense stuff, and they've specifically warned Australia, our participation in this, that we will have to change our first strike doctrine. Their doctrine was not to have a first strike. China has said we will have to change that. And Russia, a couple of weeks ago, which we highlighted here, of course said, not even so much in the case themselves, although that's a given, but they highlighted Syria following Libya and the rest, saying that your agenda of regime change in all these countries, which totally breaches any global commitment to national sovereignty, we reject that, and there will be a backlash against that, which will also include nuclear weapons. So those two countries cannot have been more clear on their intent, how far they will go to defend their sovereignty.
And I think, as we go through in the paper, Robbie, the intention here, as mad as it might sound, is the idea of world government. And the British oligarchy, the British crown, they want world government. It's a stated policy. And you know what? It's even more ironic is today that Bob Brown's last day of sitting in Parliament. He's resigning as a parliamentarian.
That's right.
What's his intention? He wants a world government. He wants to become part of the world parliament.
Now,
here you have the leader of
the
Greens, right, which we denounced for the green fascism, going for world government. So it just once again confirms that the slow nuclear death, which we've covered in the back of our paper here,
we talked about last week,
you know, the policies that are shutting down our agriculture, shutting down our industry, the policies of rabid and radical green environmentalist policies are just the flip side of the same coin. On the other side, you've got this policy of globalization, which, of course, is leading to war.
Well, look, we're running a show, so we've got to take a break now. When we come back, let's talk about the Australian section, where the role Australia is playing in this war drive, which is very shocking, and everyone must read this. And then we'll conclude this week's report with a more optimistic note, which is also in the paper.
Yeah.
So we'll see you on the other side of the break. Welcome back to the CEC Report. So we're discussing the CEC's very latest New Citizen newspaper, which is the most important publication we've ever put out. And it's a must-read for everybody because we cannot overstate how dire the crisis facing Australia and the world is right now, driven by the unstoppable collapse of the financial system. The single most shocking element of this paper to Australians will be the section on Australia's role in this war drive. And it's headlined, Australia Prepares for World War, Tragedy or Just Plain Farce. And why it's shocking is because you don't get through our media, you get occasional little snippet, and we'll talk about that, but you do not get through our media any sense of just how our behaviour as a nation is alarming the countries that we know would be a threat to us if we went to war against them. Mm. And it's heading us to war, leading us to war, and we've talked about this, namely China.
Yeah, which, Robbie, the farce, one of the elements of the farce, I mean, here you have a standing army, is at what, 1.2 million soldiers, right? They have nuclear weapons, they have sophisticated navy and so forth. And what's Australia got? I mean, one submarine that may work.
Maybe.
You know, tens of thousands of soldiers. I mean, a huge continent to cover. I mean, when you start to look at this just from a technical point of view, it's a complete and utter farce.
And look, China is not like Japan. Japan was an imperial power with an imperial plan to expand. China has never shown, in its whole history, has never shown any behaviour like that. What China's so-called expansion is an economic one, which has one single intention, and that is to secure the physical needs it requires as a nation to support a population of well over 1.4 billion people, and that's energy and that's food. Now, unlike, say, China's in Africa and China's in Australia, etc., the difference between China's reach and, say, the old British Empire and the East India Company, Craig, is at least China pays for what it gets, right? Yeah. The British used to send in their gunboats and just take it. What we highlight in this paper, that in 2009, Australia prepared a defence white paper, and we added to it last year, 2011, in what's called the Force Posture Review, where our military has been put on an aggressive stance against China. Now, it's not just us. This is in concert with the United States. And as we highlight in this paper, Greg Sheridan, who's a real neocon, made a comment once that when he went to look at the Australia-US military relationship, he said, everywhere I looked, I found the Brits. Because when it comes to this, Australia functions as an arm of the British. And so with those two strategic defence doctrines, the White Paper and the Force Posture Review, we have sent a message to China that the Australian people have been completely unaware of. And it includes this. We are prepared, under this doctrine, to work with the United States to block China's sea lanes in Asia.
And I think, Robbie, just to jump in there, if we have a look at just one of the graphs, one of the maps that we've actually drawn, you can see through maybe the yellow dots or the orange dots on screen, just the number, the amount of encirclement that we're looking at with, in particular in China, but also in Russia. If you have a look at the purple dots on screen, you can see something up to 3 air aircraft carrier attack units were placed in the Persian Gulf. So this doctrine that we're talking about, what Australia's been drawn into is this rabid policy of Obama and the Anglo elites, the oligarchy, to push us into a war. And we're just going along with it, saying, yes, sir, no, sir, 3 bags full, Mr. Obama.
And what keeps occurring to me, Craig, is that we tend to look at it from our side. We've got to put ourselves in the shoes of the Chinese and the Russians. And that map you just highlighted, look at what they see.
Yeah, look what they see.
Because they see themselves being encircled by this intention. And what's happening, though, is every time we've been going to China lately, when I say we, Australian representatives like Bob Carr, they have been talking about nothing but. They are very unhappy and they're expressing it. And then our representatives come back and go, oh, yeah, but they're just overreacting. Well, okay, the Australian people can believe that if they like, but it doesn't matter what they believe. We are being told explicitly. And, of course, our point of view is that we can have a solution to the world economic collapse that does not involve trying to get the strategic upper hand over the whole world, which is the British imperial view.
Which is the one world government view.
Which is the one world government view, because at the end of the day, we want our sovereignty as well. We respect China's right to demand its sovereignty, because we should be demanding our sovereignty, not giving it up so easily to this globalization agenda. And you see it on this in the paper on page 5 there. There's a map that shows in the way Australia over time has changed its strategic positioning of its forces, even on the Australian mainland, Craig, mm-hmm. to a northern focused positioning aimed at, you know, a so-called threat coming from China. And more importantly, we are central to this ballistic missile defense system that the Chinese and the Russians have both said is what they regard as the biggest threat. We use our things like Jindaloo over the horizon radar systems.
And Pine Gap.
And Pine Gap, etc. They know that they are central to the intelligence that the US and the UK use for this.
And that puts a big target on us.
Well, if you're gonna take this to the extent of a nuclear war, they're gonna want to take out the facilities that provide the greatest threat.
Yeah. And what, you know, the general level of the upgrades, Robbie, militarily, is really quite stunning when you look at it. Now, this is hidden. It was brought to light when Obama came down here and announced these troops going to be placed in Darwin. But the anecdotal reports is this is destroying Darwin as a city. I mean, you've got massive numbers of people coming in there. The housing's gone through the roof. Like, you know, ordinary people can't afford to live in these towns. So this is not an economic advantage to Australia.
All new housing apparently is coming in from Asia, completely prefabricated. It's not being built locally. No, it's not creating jobs.
This is typical of a wartime mobilisation build-up where there's no intention to support the sovereignty, the economic sovereignty of the country. It's basically just a rabid war drive.
And people need to read the details of this, another point I wanted to make is that what they also have to understand is we are highlighting this in a big way, which is why we're producing this paper. But what we are highlighting, we already know that many, many military people in Australia, which is similar to what we find in the United States as well, actual serving military people are equally alarmed at this because, as one said once, we're the ones who have to go and die when these wars happen. And they look many years in advance at the consequence of these policies, and they are equally alarmed.
I just wanted to highlight, Robbie, we also go back to look at what happened to Hiroshima and Nagasaki when the bombs were dropped. You know, today we have on the face of the globe something like 25,000 times the power of that one bomb, ready to be deployed at any moment. Now, that's really quite frightening. And when we actually go through on page 10 of the paper, you know, what it was like when these bombs got dropped, the casualties, and go and compare the different arsenals of both Russia and the United States that are ready to be deployed now.
So it's absolutely nuts to even have anyone in leadership around the world that would be prepared to play dice with this.
Yeah, look, this is an insanity of the British system, and as we've said on this program, their system is coming down. The financial and monetary system of the British is coming down. We've documented it, you know, chapter and verse over many of our publications. The intention of the British oligarchy, the crown, is if they can't get their way, they will annihilate civilization. Mankind will go extinct based on the use of these sorts of weapons.
All right, so we're running out of time there again. We've got a short period after the break where we'll talk about there is a solution to this which everyone can recognise. Welcome back to the CEC report. So finally, on our latest News Citizen, it's not all bad news. We have a feature in this publication which gives the fact there is a solution to this, Craig.
Yes.
And I'll let you talk about it, but I just want to say that it starts off with a feature called Real Evolution, the Self-Developing Biosphere, Human Credit Systems and the Newosphere, which goes to the axioms that the British Crown, in particular through the Green Movement, have brainwashed people with, which is this idea that everything has to be sustainable, i.e. kept contained and limited, because otherwise we're going to overpopulate and, you know, do all those types of things.
The best we can hope for is equilibrium, which doesn't exist.
The best we can hope for is equilibrium. Whereas this paper shows that the whole thing scientifically is a fraud, because nature does not and never has functioned on those terms.
Yeah, you're talking specifically about second law of thermodynamics, which we hit very specifically in this paper again, but also in our last paper. Look, Robbie, the issue here is that if people just listen to what they believe in terms of green ideology, it's a complete crock. The fact is, the universe is a self-developing continuum. It's continuing to develop under for higher and higher levels of organisation. It's not winding down. It's not disintegrating. And the proof is, if you look at the historical records, the archaeological records, you see that life on the face of the planet is systematically increasing its power. Right now, if we go against that, right, we go extinct as a human species. And that's what basically what we go through in these particular articles. And one of the... And we go through and specifically about what the real science of evolution is, as opposed to this quackery which is attributed to Charles Darwin. We also talk about how do we actually develop the human species, and we go to the core of what is actual credit. The idea of national banking instead of this British monetary system of debt, of using money as a tool to enslave nations.
Because basically what you can do with a national, with a credit system, with national banking, is you take... You understand how an economy works, and you use it as the power to direct those physical areas of the economy which increase our power.
Yeah.
Increases, you have more powerful, higher energy flux density energy sources, right? And then you can support greater populations and make greater discoveries. And
that's been the history of the human population, of harnessing, you know, what used to be, you know, wood, then coal, you know, oil, then getting up to fusion, now in, you know, fission, and then looking at fusion. Higher and higher energy flux densities that then come through the economy and actually increase the capacity of mankind to intervene and to develop what we have.
And in terms of what is driving this whole crisis, which we opened with at the beginning of this broadcast, which is the global economic collapse, with a credit system, you can unleash on the world this type of development that we have this great graphic in this paper, great global development projects, which would also be the basis of lasting peace with Russia and China, because they're the only two places that are actually committed to this right now.
Yeah, and that's what really freaks the British out, is that Russia and China have massive development projects to support their populations and to increase the capacity to make sure more and more people can live at a better standard of living across the board. If you look at this globally, as we've done in this particular graph, you see there are literally dozens. We've only listed a handful in our paper. There are literally dozens, if not hundreds, of projects which, if funded through national credit, which we go through and how you can do that, you will see a massive and rapid turnaround. And what really is incredible, Robbie, is the fact that you can get Julia Gillard up and say, we're going to spend $60 billion to build another bunch of sinking tubs called submarines in order to promote this insane war for drive for war. Why can't we use that sort of funding to really build the sorts of projects that we need in this country? Well, there's no reason we can't.
Okay. And this paper contains the resolution which we highlighted a month ago, develop Australia's future, develop or die. So in the time we've got left, please get on the website, order yourself bulk copies of this. We need this distributed everywhere. Get people to endorse the resolution. This is the beginning of the fight back. So thanks for tuning in, and tune in next week for more of the CEC Report.